last night I went to I had a rough day at work and had some things happening. And anyways, I wanted to go home, and I got a desire that I was supposed to go to the gym, which, I mean, I've given a lot of testimony about the gym. It's where Yahweh and Christ really get me to go witness to people. While I was in there, I didn't, again, I didn't want to be, things weren't working well. I was looking for any excuse. You guys ever been told to do something through Christ, and you're kind of doing it, but you're looking for any excuse to get out of it? Oh, it's not working out. Yeah. Oh, look at the time. Look at that. So remember that. As I gave Rachel a prophecy today, or Will and Rachel, somebody else. It says, remember, you have an... If we don't walk in darkness, then Satan can't talk to us. So who is his enemy?
Ourselves.
It's Adam and Eve who lives inside us. They're our genetics. And remember, there's a war inside each one of you. Who wants you to be a quitter? The old man. And he doesn't go away. And so when Christ and Yahweh tell you to do something, that's through the Spirit. It specifically says the Spirit and the flesh will never get along. And so remember that, especially when you go on a mission. Guess who's going to be trying to talk you out of it? That devil on your shoulder. You shut up! Anyways, as I was working out, I started actually doing supernatural lifting, which is what got me into witnessing to people in the first place. I started exercising supernatural strength by lifting heavier and heavier. And I went to do some FaceTime, talked to Caden. A guy walked by and waved at me. And it was a guy that I had ran into down at the ice arena gym who wouldn't leave me alone. I was short in time, and this guy stood right next to me. He's like, "Hi, how are you doing?" I'm like, "Rah, rah, I'm doing good." I get a little bit louder, start breathing heavier to show him how serious I am. I'm busy. And he doesn't go away. He just starts talking to me. Till finally, this guy, he says, "I see you praying before you're lifting. Why are you praying?" Anyways, I got to give that guy a prophecy, and it was really neat. After I gave him a prophecy in the middle of the gym, he goes, "Whoa! I know that wasn't from Satan." That was his response. Usually people have teary eyes, they give you a hug, or they thank you. That's not from Satan, because Satan doesn't talk that way. That's it. There's a lot of problems, so I just figured out. But I never saw the guy again. He doesn't have a phone until this night at the gym. Again, late, I didn't want to be there. And as he starts following me around again, and I'm trying to get out of the gym, and he's following me, and I don't know how I'm supposed to help him. So what I end up doing is witnessing, giving him my big testimony. Every one of you have a big testimony. The one that is the biggest thing, whether it's hunting, whether it's singing, whatever it is. Everybody's got your favorite topic to witness on. And here he was, kind of hem-hawing about whether he should really take his life more seriously in advancing in knowledge. Because he's kind of, well, why would I want a more accurate Bible? And so then I turned it back to, your life must be 100% satisfied. And he goes, "No, it's not. So there's some things missing." Yeah. "How would you like to have those things fixed?" And that's what started. I started witnessing him to this guy who works in a kitchen about a bench press. I didn't think he had any interest in the bench press, but I just went through my repetition, your testimony. You guys have given your testimony. Here, I'm going to give you this. Boom, boom, here's this. And he kept trying to interrupt me because he likes talking probably as much as I do. But I know I'm going to give this testimony. And I didn't know what was going to work out, but when I got done giving the testimony in the gym in front of everybody who's watching and listening, and I have to get louder and louder because he keeps interrupting me. When I got done, his eyes were watering up, and he was confirmed. And I've said that over and over and over again, that if you give your testimony, if you give a testimony that's true, it doesn't matter how big it is. If Christ is inside that person, and Mel doesn't believe, well, guess what? That's 3-1, because that's me and Christ are going to team up with Christ inside of her, and the only one that's going to be unbelieving is her brain. So you have a majority there, because Christ will testify. And you ever had somebody witness or say something, you're like, "That's ridiculous," and you walk off, and you're like, "Why do I keep thinking about that?" Because that statue right there, Christ is tapping you, going, "I want to talk to you about that." Anyways, I've said that before, but I've never had a scripture for it until I memorized this. It's right here, verse 7. I'll start it. The law of Yahweh is complete, bringing back the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is confirmed, making wise the simple. The testimony of Yahweh is confirmed. Now, especially, we can apply it to believers when they have the Ruach HaKodesh and they have the Holy Spirit inside of them. Even if you tell them the truth that is completely 180 degrees against all their doctrine and their traditions of men, who's inside them? He's going to confirm it. So sometimes it's going to be you standing up, and I think of Peter with the Jews on the day of Pentecost, they didn't have the Ruach inside them. He still did it. Okay, would that be hard? Well, sometimes we're going to stand up like Peter, but the advantage is a majority of them are going to have Christ inside of them, and he's going to testify. Just like a judge is going to say, sustained! He's going to sustain it. So that, but anyways, but that started, I guess the rest of that testimony is, after I give the testimony, he's kind of fired up. Now by this time, everybody at this time in the gym knows I'm a fanatic. And I was like, I got to go. And so he starts walking with me. And actually, I wanted to talk to somebody who was leaving the gym, so I'm trying to kind of break. And he comes walking with me. And we're still talking back and forth. He's very knowledgeable. And anyways, I say, hey, now would be a good time to pray. Which is kind of my MO to give somebody a prophecy. So I stop, I have my gym bag, and I put my arm around his back, and I start having a prayer, and I'm getting ready to go into it. And then I got a word of knowledge to get on my knees, which is, I've never actually done that, not in a public area, not like this. And so I put my hand back, and I said, hey, excuse me for just a second. And I had my eyes closed when I did it. So then I got on my knees, and a beautiful prayer came out saying, who cares what everybody else thinks? Who cares? They don't care about us anyways. They don't care about me. All the kids in your school, they really don't care about you. You can blend in. Some of them might. So if they don't like you or not, who cares? You think about like Tim Tebow or something. They're booing you. He's not doing it for the fans. Now, that doesn't mean that some... But anyways, this prayer came out. Who cares if people aren't watching? And then the prophecy came out. And it said, Darren, the job that's opening up and somebody's phone. Is that you, Izzy?
I'm under my crock. I don't bring it closer.
Anyways,
I'm better than that.
Anyways, the prophecy was he was supposed to take the job in El Dorado or wherever, and I was a little hesitant with it. It's the door's been opened up. I said this could be me, but I think there's some obstacles that it's not going to work unless you give Yahweh and Christ what they're asking you to do. You got to be obedient in order to get this thing or whatever. And I open up, and this guy is just beaming. And then oh yeah, I forgot to tell you, he is on his knees too. Mm-hmm. I didn't see him get down on his knees. So here's me and this other grown man that everybody had been watching. All of a sudden, we get down on our knees in front of everybody at the gym. I didn't even know. I'm not even thinking about what's happening here. I get back up and he goes, I knew that was right. And instead of going, I know that one from Satan. Oh yeah, then he tells me. He said, Aaron. Oh yeah, I'm going into the gym to change, and he's following me. I'm like, I gotta get away. I gotta go. I go into the gym. And he said, I was gonna go to a gym tonight. I think I was supposed to go to gym, although I didn't want to go. And Christ told me that you wouldn't be at that gym downtown where you were last. That you're gonna probably be at this one. And then he goes, so, and I'm this stuff isn't settling in. I'm like, anyways, I'm changing my clothes. We're grabbing my clothes. And then he goes, do you have a Genesis 2.0? And I'm like, oh. I'm thinking Bible scriptures, right? And I go, oh, my car? He goes, yeah, I got a Genesis. He goes, yeah. He told me that was your car, too, when I pulled into the parking lot. That was the whole point of me going to that gym. Christ is going to send him there. I'm going to go, man, who knows what happened? But the testimony he always confirmed, the teaching tonight. And so I guess before I go off on it, you're not going to want to witness to anybody in your school. You're not going to want to witness to anybody you fill in the blank. I don't know enough scripture. I've never led anybody to salvation. I've never led anybody into speaking in tongues. I've never explained prophecy. You're going to say, where's my dad? I got to introduce you to my dad. That's what I did when I was your age. You had to have somebody do all your work for you. Here's what you do have. Your testimony. So you just start, if you don't have the scriptures, if you don't have these things, you know what you do? You start giving your testimony. And Christ will be inside of them, and then watch. As you start walking up, the testimony is something you know very well, right? Did it happen? Yes. And that's what Jesus Christ says. Go witness. So you can witness, even if you don't have the scriptures, and you'll be really surprised how many scriptures will fly out of your mouth when you start witnessing. Because Christ will start filming in there, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, I sound really smart. All right. Tonight's teaching is going to be your battle equipment for your war. We live in a current peaceful age. I don't think I quoted that scripture right. It says we live in a current evil age. We shouldn't be shocked. It's a current evil age. We're at war, and it's going to be a study on what's called the genitive case. Out of Companion, E.W. Bullinger's Companion. This is Appendix 17, so you can get this off the Telios website for free. And you can look into it, and here's some incredible teachings. And the genitive case. Who here knows what genitive means? I was going to do a teaching on something, and I didn't even know what the word meant. So I better at least look up the word. What does genitive mean before we go into a teaching about something? Okay, a genitive means, let me see. Who here knows what a noun is? Go ahead.
It's person, place, or thing.
Okay, what's a pronoun? A noun is a person, place, or thing. A pronoun is a word that can be substituted for a person, place, or thing. Like he. And so a pronoun can be a word that can be substituted just for it, and it can have like the same grammatical laws applied to it. So the genitive case is going to be relating or denoting a case of nouns and pronouns indicating possession or close association. So when something is in a genitive case, it means that it's in possession. So if we're talking, before.
This
is your guys' first day of school, and I'm talking about pronouns. You're like, oh, great. Nouns, pronouns. The genitive case. We'll get into the cool stuff in just a second. Appendix 17 from the Companion Bible. The word of is usually the sign of the genitive case, though it is used also to represent 14 different Greek words. From around, I don't know this next word, but it could be used. They'll translate words like from, around, away, under, beside, upon, over, in, unto, down, through, towards, well, before, and they'll translate some of those words as of. But usually, whenever you see the word of in your Bible, it's the genitive case. So what is that? No, I'll go into what exactly that means in a second. There's a genitive case of character. So what does that mean? So remember, it's possession of a noun, pronoun, the genitive case of a character is going to be, hence the emphasis is always on the adjective participle, which appears in the original as a noun in the genitive case. Okay, here's an example. Psalms 2:6. The hill of my holiness can be translated my holy hill. Remember, of is the genitive case. So to say, the hill of my holiness could be translated my holy hill. Children, in Ephesians 2:2, children of disobedience, there's no word for of there. They insert the word of because the disobedience in children, there's going to be the genitive case. You're going to say, in English, you have to insert a word of to tell you about the genitive case. So it'd say, children of disobedience equals disobedient children. 2 Thessalonians 1:7 says in the Greek, this is in the Greek testimony, or Greek documents, angels of his might can also be translated his mighty angels. The genitive origin, it goes into that. It says visions proceeding from God, visions of God also means visions proceeding from God. Romans 4 says righteousness of faith can also mean righteousness coming through faith. Perils of water, perils occasioned by water. So now we're going to get to what we're talking about tonight. Genitive of possession. Here's an example. Who here knows what the armor of Yahweh or armor of God is? Who can recite it? Any kids? Okay, Izzy, go ahead.
I was telling them the sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation.
Breastplate. No, I'll do.
Belt of truth.
She hears everything.
Huh?
She hears everything.
It's Ephesians 6. We live in a current evil age, and a friend of mine actually was the one that got me started to do this every single morning. And now I have upped it. So I prayed over some oil. There's no properties to the oil. But I put Yahweh's scriptures inside that oil. And I'm saying that oil is being marinated in Yahweh's word. And Yahweh honors that. And I prayed over this word. It's holy oil now. And then I take the oil, and this wasn't my idea originally. And before I go even leave the bathroom, if I can, I put on the helmet of righteousness. So I have a helmet. Is the helmet important on a football field? You got to have your helmet. If you're being righteous, you have a helmet. If you're being unrighteous, do you have a helmet?
Nope.
It's real important. I never thought of that because there were times I was not being righteous and I thought I had a helmet on. You don't have a helmet, buddy. You see somebody running on the field without a helmet, you're like, you're being dumb. The breastplate of righteousness. The helmet of salvation, excuse me. It's the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness. So it'd be, if you're not being righteous, you don't have your breastplate on. The belt of truth. So you say, okay, if I'm speaking the truth, the belt holds everything together, the shoes of the glad message, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith. And what is the sword of the Spirit? It is the rhema, the spoken word of Yahweh. It's not the logos, the Greek word logos. It's you speaking it. When you put the word in your mouth, it's like putting a bullet in the chamber of a gun. If you don't squeeze a trigger, does it help you at all?
No.
No. And actually, a loaded gun, when you're not using it correctly, it can be very dangerous for a lot of other people and yourself. You put the word in your mouth, but when you speak it in faith is when you activate it. And when you speak more accurately according to the scriptures, how powerful is a Marine sniper? That's one guy. One guy. Chris Kyle, one guy putting fear all over Taliban or whoever those wicked Muslims are. How could one guy do it? Because of his accuracy. They've never even seen him coming. If you are accurate with the scriptures, you become like a Marine sniper, how you speak it. Otherwise, if you don't, you just get started. You speak it. So now here he's going to talk about the genitive case of possession. Let me see here. And this is Ephesians 6. The shield of faith is faith's shield. It sounds different, doesn't it? I have faith's shield. Turn to he. Well, I don't want to skip too much. The sword of the Spirit is the Spirit's sword. What is it? Think about. Let's just stop for a second. The Hebrew word for spirit is ruach. Whose sword do I have? Do I have Barack Obama's sword?
No, Yahweh.
Barney Fife's sword? Pokemon sword? A coward sword? No, I got the Spirit. You say, turn to 2 Corinthians 4:13. I guess we should have turned to Ephesians, but it's hard to get me to stop talking.
Turn where?
So Ephesians 6:16, I went over that there's a helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, sword of the Spirit, belt of truth, and the shoes of the glad message. And what Bollinger is explaining is that can be just translated, because the word of is a genitive case, and it can be translated, I have faith's shield. I have the Spirit's sword. And so we're going to look at the Ruah, which is Spirit, 4:13.
Where?
2 Corinthians 4:13. Page 183. Howbeit seeing that we have the same spirit of faith, according to that which is written, I believe, therefore I also speak. If you read this, it's talking about the same spirit that raised Lazarus from the dead is in us. The same spirit, you say, golly, who is this? He'd say, the same spirit in Joshua 10:13. What did Joshua do that was so incredible that nobody else ever did? The same spirit, the same rule that Joshua said, son, over Gibeon, stand still. That was Joshua 10:13. How much power would it take to stop the sun? You talk to a physicist, they're going to laugh at you. They say, just do the math. You can't do the math. That spirit that stopped the sun and the moon is in you. We have his sword. Does that change a little bit? The same spirit that stopped the sun and the moon, okay, guess what? Yeah, I have his sword. It's sword. Then we turn to the faith. Faith shield. I have faith shield. So what is faith shield? Turn to Hebrews 11:30. Not every time, but almost any time you see the word of, you can turn and say the spirit of. You can say the spirit's sword. And I'll give you another example here in a second. Hebrews 11:30. So now we're talking about, let's just act like faith is an individual. Peyton Manning's helmet. What would that mean to you? Here's your helmet. Thanks. Oh, by the way, that's Peyton Manning's helmet. He played in high school. We just covered it and put a Mason emblem on it. Are you serious? Yeah. He won 3 state championships with that. You would look at this thing going, what? Is this true? If you might do some research. If you found out the serial number, this is Peyton Manning's helmet, would that inspire you? When you put that helmet on, would you might think a little bit differently on the field? Michael Jordan's shoes, or you feel Usain Bolt's. Here's Hebrews, what did I say, 11:30? Mom, who would like to read that for me?
I will. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell, having been surrounded for 7 days.
Who has seen the movie The Wall? That's the Chinese wall, and I don't know how accurate it is, but it's a big wall, right? Mm-hmm. But it is a good example for Christians to look at. What did the walls of Jericho look like? Something like that. Feeling pretty invincible when you got a wall like that, right? Except for those dinosaur things that are coming after him. Well, guess what? The faith, what brought down that wall? Faith. Amon. You have his shield. Whose shield?
Faith.
Faith shield. What brought, and we're going to come back to the faith. So when you put this equipment on, you're going to go, whose sword do I have here? We just read about Moses speaking, and how did Moses do that? Well, he had what's called the Ruach HaKodesh. People would translate spirit. Is inside of him, yeah. What did he do with that thing? Boom! And when people received the spirit, power just came everywhere. Now we'll turn to 1 Samuel. Let me find my scripture. 21. I'm going to give you an example of this illustration, but it was all started because of E.W. Bollinger pointing out the genitive case.
Old Testament.
Yeah, so it'd be 3:11 of the Old Testament.
1 Samuel?
Yeah.
Page 311.
You think of that. You're getting ready to go to war. You're getting ready to go to some huge war. Let's just say President Trump has got a big adversary coming up. And there's no chance of surviving. You guys know who President Trump is, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they go, okay, well, we got to put you in this hotel tonight. Tomorrow, North Korea is doing this. The Democrats are doing this. All these things have. There's no chance of survival. President Trump goes, okay, I got to get some sleep. They take him into his room. And as they introduced him into his room, they said, by the way, this was George Washington's bed. The bed of George Washington. Do you think that would inspire him for his war the next day? Do you think as he looked at that bed, he goes, what was George Washington going through when he had the most powerful armada, navy in the world, and he's going to pick a fight with him? And he's going to lead a bunch of farmers to fight the military he swore an oath to. Why? Principles. Because these are the principles that the forefathers they did. They didn't pick that fight because they knew they could win the fight. It's because it's what they were teaching their children. Love your neighbor as yourself. What is the first and great commandment?
On your father and mother.
No.
Deuteronomy 6.
I am your other God.
Thou shalt not have any other gods besides me.
That's Exodus. Thou therefore, I am Yahweh thy Elohim, thou therefore shalt have or love me with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. It's the first and great commandment. What's the second great commandment? Jesus Christ said, love your neighbor as yourself. These two commandments is fulfilling the whole law. The forefathers were just doing what Yahweh was telling. Were they teaching their children? Do you think a father ever says, hey, you don't quit just because you're not going to win, right? You ever had your dad say that to you? And you're like, yeah, real convenient. You never played on a losing team, Dad. We think that sometimes. Then every once in a while, the father has to put the same pants on and go do it. And I believe our forefathers were in a position. I gotta practice what I preach right now. And everybody's going to say, you guys will get wiped out. There's no chance of doing it. If you're a Christian, you're going to say, you get confirmation, you go to church, you pray. If you get confirmation, that's the way you go. You go, okay, if I die, the next thing I'll see is Jesus Christ. But that's what they did. But back to Donald Trump. Would Donald Trump be inspired by, how about Carlos Hathcock, or who are somebody that would really influence you? Who is somebody you would idolize? Now, 311, page 311, 1 Samuel. King David is on the run. Saul is trying to murder him. What did David do? Nothing wrong. He was being obedient. While he's on the run, he goes to a priest. Okay, are you there? Okay. We're starting verse 8. Who would like to read?
What chapter?
Chapter 21.
Agos.
And so he's going to go to a priest named Abimelech. Abimelech to ask for some help. Okay. And Abimelech does not know David's on the run. Okay, go ahead.
Then said David to Abimelech, see whether there is here under thy hand a spear or a sword. For neither my sword nor my other weapons did I take in my hand, for the king's business was urgent. Did I keep
reading? Yep.
And the priest said, the sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou didst smite in the vale of Elah, so that is wrapped up in a cloth behind the ephod. If that thou wilt take to thee, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, there is none like it, give it to me.
The sword of who?
Goliath.
Do you think that sword had a special meaning to David?
Yes.
Why?
Because he whacked off his head with it.
He chopped Goliath's head off. He'd used it before.
What a war.
Whose sword was it? Some pansy?
Yeah.
It's Al Gore. Al Gore's sword. Come on, can't you give me like Arnold's rock or something? Not a sissy. Whose sword was it? Did it mean something to David?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's nothing like it. Because the reputation that already existed. You have whose sword? It says the genitive case, the Ruah's sword. Its sword. Ruah is feminine, so it would be his sword, be her sword, actually, or it. What has that sword done in the past? So don't look at your mountain in front of you. Let's just talk about this sword. Okay, Genesis, seas being split, the Egyptians being washed away. How would you like to stop the sun and the moon? Wow, can you imagine Joshua sleeping that night? Oh my goodness, that was so cool. Can you imagine? What are the greatest things? How about fire coming down from heaven to devour them in their 50s? Is that powerful? You have the same spirit. You have its sword when you speak. Is that empowering? I got its sword. The shield of faith, you start thinking about that. Here's David, here's the of. So there's a genitive case in the Hebrew text. We start looking at that and we go, okay, wait a minute. But before we even put on our equipment today, whose helmet do I have?
The helmet of salvation.
I have salvation's helmet. Let's just think about salvation right now. What's the most costly purchase price that's ever been spent? Yep. My salvation, your salvation. What kind of helmet do you have? At what expense do we have salvation? Just watch the Passion of the Christ. And who gave us salvation? The Father. He did not die for our sins. He asked His Son, and He watched His Son die. And for 3 days and three nights, He waited for His Son to get up. That's the helmet we have. What does it represent? It's a good helmet. Whose breastplate do we have?
Righteousness.
Righteousness. Whose shield do we have? Face shield. Whose sword do you have?
Spirit.
I have this spirit sword. You're going to grab this like Goliath's sword? Goliath's sword's nothing compared to the sword of the Ruach. Woo! You start getting jacked up. And now I'm going to digress. I'm going to turn for just a second. Matthew chapter 1 is the first page in the Greek text. So if you start acknowledging what kind of equipment we have, and maybe it's just me. I used to put on the equipment. I say the sword of the Spirit, but it never meant anything. The sword of the Spirit. What is it? It's a spoken word. But it had no picture that I could paint until I read E.W. Walker. Page 1.
Page 1.
So this is going to be kind of going off on a tangent, so just bear with me.
Page 1.
Page 1.
I'm sorry, what book did you say?
Matthew.
Matthew.
I'm sorry. I thought, never mind. I thought you said something different. I'm like, what?
Okay. Esther. Mm-hmm. Chapter 1, verse 20. Please read that for me.
Okay. Can I read now?
Yeah.
But when these things he had pondered, lo, a messenger of the Lord by dream appeared to him, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take unto Mary thy wife, for that which in her hath been begotten is of the Holy Spirit.
See the word in her, which is conceived in her. Do you guys see the word in?
Mm-hmm.
Are you see it?
Mm-hmm.
Or am I making it up? On any text, or software, and I was going to use it, do an example on my phone software. If you had the King James, you could put your finger over the word and it would show you, here's the Greek word that this is. You could put Mary and here's the Greek word. You could put faith and it's going to say something different than the Hebrew. But in the Hebrew, you could say, so the translator is showing me one word, and just to make sure the translator's not making a mistake, what word are they translating? And every once in a while they make a mistake, other times they don't make a mistake. They don't want to offend the people they're paying for making the Bible, or they don't want to offend religious people. But in this case, the word in is this Greek word right here. I have no idea how to pronounce it. So you can look it up. Strong's number, 1722.
If.
So there is a Greek word for in. You follow me? And so on any one of these words, you can go on this Bible software, there it is. Turn to Mark 11. Page 47 in the Greek text. I was talking to Darren last night, witnessing to him about translations and why is it important to have a good the best translation. I said, there's a roaring lion walking around seeking whom he may devour. Have you ever heard that? You guys heard of that? There's a lion that's hunting you and me? And he goes, yeah. He says, be sober, be watchful. There's a lion hunting you and me and everybody in this room. Okay. He goes, yeah, I got you. And then we turn to the scriptures, and I says, when that lion approached Yehoshua, a Mashiach, Jesus Christ, how did Yehoshua fight him? It is written. He didn't deviate. He didn't change. He didn't paraphrase. And if Jesus Christ didn't deviate, didn't do anything, why would any human think that you can deviate and fight this lion? You're an idiot. You think you can handle this lion with a paraphrase or something like that? But I was talking to him saying, and if we quote the scriptures, what will the adversary have to do? It says, resist him, he will flee. He goes, okay. I said, if you quote the woman caught in adultery, does Satan have to flee? This is not in the scriptures. And he goes, and so I'd already showed him it's not in the text. It was added by 900 AD. He goes, why would anybody add the woman caught in adultery? And I go, you heard of the sower and the seed? He goes, what, tell me about the sword of seed. He goes, they went out to sow seed, and somebody threw in weeds, tares, darnels. And they went to look, and they said, Master, somebody sowed in darnels and tares with the wheat. What did the master say? An enemy hath done this. Jesus Christ, was he talking about wheat? He's talking about the word. And so if the adversary is going to sow something in, and if he wants to keep it in there, what's he going to have to do? It's got to be something real sweet, something people really like. He sowed that in 900 AD. Rotherham doesn't have it in it. And so if you guys have any questions, you tell those ministers, we'll point it out. So here it is. All translators agree it's not in there. But here's the text. You can't fight that. You can't fight that line if you're quoting that. And the adversary would love you to quote that. He who hath no sin cast the first stone. He's like, oh, this is perfect. They're coming at me with court guns. Can you imagine you're going lion hunting? And the lion starts running, you turn around, the court gun. He's going to turn around like, what? Oh, hold on a second. Yeah, go on in there. But anyways, Mark 11. And so what happens is, translators, teachers, for whatever reason, sometimes they read Yahweh's word and they're going to change it because they don't agree with it. Well, that can't be. And Mark 11, 22. Mel, why don't you read that?
Mark 11, 22?
Yeah.
And answering Yahushua says unto them, have faith in Yahweh.
Okay, right there. Have faith in?
Yahweh.
Have faith in Yahweh. That's almost it. And this is where Rotherham blew it on this one. There is no word there for in. Remember the in word right here? There is a Greek word for in. They didn't italicize this. They changed it. They added a word. Because what the translators were reading doesn't make sense to them or is really going to offend people. Because this is the genitive case. If you were to put a word in there, they should have put of. And if you say, have the faith of Yahweh, is that different than having faith in Him?
Yeah.
Have Yahweh's faith. Is that different than having faith in Him? Mm-hmm. What is your shield? That's your shield. It's not just bringing down the walls of Jericho. There's a faith. And he goes, "What? Wait a minute." And then what does he say after this? If you have Yahweh's faith, what will happen? It's what you quote at the beginning. You can speak into a mountain, and if you do not doubt in your heart, it'll be lifted up and cast into the sea. It's going to happen. Why? Would Yahweh have a problem moving that mountain?
No.
No. And Yahweh tells us to have his faith, to take it. And how do you take it? You got to speak it. In 24 says, for this cause I say unto you, all things whatsoever you're praying for and asking, believe you have received them, and they shall be yours. How you say it makes a lot. Oh, I have the faith of Yahweh. He's not humor. He's watching. And then 2 Corinthians 4:13, I believe, therefore I speak. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing. You keep these things going. We should be moving mountains. And before, so that goes back to the shield, the armor of Yahweh, the genitive case. So translators are going to look at it going, that's impossible to tell a sick woman with cancer to have the faith of Yahweh. You can't do that. It's impossible. And then you come back and say, what about a virgin birth? Is that possible? If you're going to start doubting that because it's not possible, how about Sarah getting pregnant at 90 and Abraham at 100? Is that possible? How about Moses splitting the Red Sea? How about, are you going to go... And you put them on the spot. You go, what's the scripture say? Yahweh tells you to have his faith. Take it. Yeah. So whose faith do you have?
Yahweh's
faith. Whose shield do you have?
Yeah.
That's not Goliath's sword. You have Yahweh's shield. Is that empowering? Yeah. Whose helmet do you got? Whose sword do you got? So you take these things, you strap them on in the morning, and you get ready to tackle this current evil age. And so